Alright? As we talk about the spiritual battle that we had, that we're in, and it's a real battle. We need to realize that in our lives, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers of wickedness. Right? And in here, and talks about, you know, we have this the hierarchy, if you will. That Satan has his minions out and about to mess you up. Think about that. Right? The things and events that happen in your life, that Satan will use these to get you off base of your walk with the Lord. And in here, we're told to stand strong. That in here, that Paul not only tells us about this battle, but then he tells us, look, but God hasn't left us kind of floundering alone in this battle alone. That in here, God has provided for us an armor that will help us to stand. That's really the purpose. All you gotta do is stand. Right? You say, okay, Lord, I'm standing on your promises. I'm standing on my faith in you. And Lord, help me to stay put in what I believe. Help me stay put in the faith that I have in you. And Satan's sneaky. And he knows you. He knows what buttons to push to get you to kind of run away screaming, right? To get you off base with your walk with the Lord. And it's funny because, you know, I've done this study a few different times. And every time, you know, I start doing this kind of study, bad things happen. You know? And it's like, oh. And it's like, all right, Lord. Because Satan doesn't want this out, right? So what happens is, you know, you start putting a big target on your back. Right? We talk about our nephew and some of the circumstances that was taking place there. This past week, when we just had gone back, got into my truck, and of course it's a Ford, which some of that means something. I headed down the road in it, and I started losing the antifreeze. I was just a little drip, drip, drip. And I was like, all right, it's not so bad. And this was like on Tuesday. By Thursday, the drip had turned into a pour. I was like, oh, so I had to go replace my radiator on top of everything else. It's just been, you ever go down through where it feels like if it rains, it pours, right? You know, just, if one thing goes, everything else goes. Well, I remember, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The real problem isn't the radiator. I mean, it's a problem. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, it's not supposed to be dripping. Right? And my daughter, always helpful, I was out doing something, and she goes, Dad, what? She goes, your truck is peeing. I said, what? She goes, there's, you know, green stuff coming off the... I was like, yeah, that's antifreeze. Thank you for, you know, reminding me, right? And but that's not really the problem. That's really not the test. You know, those can be fixed. We can take care of. But it's my attitude. It's my walk with the Lord. Am I, you know, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Well, am I rejoicing? I wasn't rejoicing. Right? It's like, one more thing. Right? You ever get to that? If one more thing happens, I'm going to, right? And guess what? One more thing happens, right? Satan knows it. And he's pushing and he's tinkering and he's doing all these things to get you off your walk with the Lord. You know, so, you know, I was grumpy. And I was grumpy with my wife, grumpy with the kid, going out through. I had to go and I got a radiator. I had to actually take it off a vehicle, do all that, bang myself up, cut myself up. And I was like, right? Then I'm like, okay, now I have to study. Oh, yeah. We're in a spiritual war. How's my attitude? How's my walk with the Lord? Help me to stand. Right? Okay, Lord, help me back. All this stuff that's going around. And, you know, Satan will use mechanics. He'll use family. He'll use friends. He'll use all these things in our lives. He'll bombard us from every side to get us off of our walk with the Lord. Because that's all we can control. I can't control all that stuff. But Lord, am I walking with you? Am I seeking you first in all things? Right? And if so, right, resist the devil, Peter tells us, and he will flee from you. Because if the circumstances that we are in brings us closer to the Lord, Satan doesn't want that. Right? If he turns around and my prayer life goes up, Satan doesn't want that. That's why he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. in here, we started talking about the armor of God, that in here, he talks about all the pieces. Now, Paul was really familiar with the Roman soldiers because they were everywhere. The Romans had one of the first full-time military forces. They were always training, always prepared for battle. They were everywhere. Everyone feared the Roman military power. So he was very familiar with the armor. So as Paul is writing this, I believe the Lord brought these things to mind. He says, look, here's the armor in a spiritual battle that we can put on. Now, as we go through this, we got to remember, it is not my armor. It is God's armor. Right? So it's God who's going to do these things. He's the one who's going to protect us as we follow Him. All right? So it's not a matter of just pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. But submission to God and letting Him have His work in our lives. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. Says, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Right? That in here, when the evil day comes, there's going to be days that are bad. Does anyone here not have a bad day? How many have at least one bad day a week? How many have, like, more than that? Right? Now we go through, we have these battles that's taking place in our lives. And sometimes we go through seasons. Right? Now, not only are we talking about just bad days, but sometimes we come into seasons that are rough. And in those days of temptation, in those days, those evil days, will we stand. And so anyway, he starts off in verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And we're going to focus just on that first one. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. The first thing he starts talking about here is the belt. Now here's a picture of a Roman soldier. And you see all the shiny parts and bits on the uniform. And you think, well, you know, this is probably the most insignificant part. And around here, around his waist, he has a belt. Right? And so, well, that's sort of an insignificant little piece. You know, if I'm going to go out to battle, I want my, you know, my breastplate, I want my shield, I want my sword, I want my helmet. And these are all parts that I want to protect. Right? Notice all the vital vitals here are all protected all on these uniform. And so Paul starts off what seems like to be an insignificant thing, talking about a belt. Why do we care about the belt? And usually we have a sort of the history of it. Here's a Roman belt. Usually it's leather. In here has brass buckles and stuff on it. And in here, the belt, while it might seem insignificant, it's sort of important. It kind of holds everything together. We were in Bible school. We had a professor who was from Passadumkeag. And he was back in the old river running days, running logs up and down the river. And it's funny because he's like, I can't swim a lick. I said, isn't that sort of a dangerous job? He goes, it was just incentive to stay on top of the logs instead of going off the logs. I was like, okay, great. So he talks about, you know, going out these all log drives and hear those cool stories. And he was the dynamite man, which I can't think of a more fun and exciting job than to blow things up. He goes, but when they go down through, the logs would all jam. And it was his job to run on top of the logs, take a stick of dynamite, light it, throw it, and then run as fast as he could. He goes, he was very fast. And the dynamite would go off and would break the log jam, and the logs would head back down the river. Talk about exciting times, right? Things that OSHA would never allow today. And so he was a lumber. Now, at this point in school, he was way past the running on logs days, right? He had retired as being a pastor on top of his logging career. But if you need a tree cut down, he was your man. He had a chainsaw. I mean, you'd see him go out through it. He'd be sharpening his. He was ready just in case it was an emergency tree removal that had to take place. And so we were talking, and he goes, there's a lady in town that needs a branch cut off. And so he was excited to do it. He would do it for free. He just loved the smell of chainsaw oil. And so he heads out there, puts the ladder up there, and we're talking about, and he was teaching in school, and we were talking about the armor of God. We came to the idea of the belt. And so this will all come back together, I promise. And so he's up there. He goes, let me tell you guys, if you think your belt is insignificant, He goes, I was up, probably about 30 feet up in the air. And there's a branch I needed to cut off. And so I scooted out onto a branch. I'm hanging on with this hand. I got my feet on this log in here. And he goes, I got a running chainsaw in this hand. And he goes, he had to reach out and cut off this branch. So he's stretching, and he's stretching, and he's stretching. Well, as he stretched, he kind of slenders himself. And he goes, as I'm out there, my pants drop around my ankles. And he talks about what an interesting predicament to be in with a running chainsaw 30 feet up in the air. Now he can't move his feet because his pants are down there. And he's out there. And he goes, he only had one recourse. He ended up dropping his chainsaw, which brought tears to his eyes because that was his baby. And he goes, let me tell you, fellas, ever since then, he wears a belt and suspenders on any job he does. The purpose of the belt really functions to hold everything together. For a Roman soldier, that year you would put on your clothing, that you had your undergarments, and then you turn around and you would put a robe on, and on top of that you'd put your cloak on top of that. Then all this stuff is all kind of loose. And so what would happen is that in here you put a belt to hold it all in. If you're out in battle, you don't want a long flowing robe behind you. It's going to snag itself up on things. It's going to ensnare itself all around. It gives an opportunity for the enemy to grab that piece of garment and pull you to your defeat. It was a place to store your sword. That in here, you're able to keep money in the belt as well. That in here, it became such a valuable piece to put it all together. That in here, the breastplate, as that was fastened on, the bottom of it would be held in place by the belt. Otherwise, it would flop. It was connected on top and the sides. This held the bottom in place. And so, as a Roman soldier, it was important to have your belt. Now, in light of this, we carry this over that, look, Paul uses this as an illustration to gird yourself up with truth. That among everything else that we look at the scriptures, we talk about the sword, and we talk about the breastplate, we talk about the helmet, we talk about all these things, one of the most vital things that holds everything together, will hold your faith together, is truth. Truth. Now, Jesus said that His Word is truth. Right? So I started off saying, oh, we got to talk about truth, we're talking about the Bible. Well, go down a little bit further, and we have the sword of the Lord, which is the Word of God. So is Paul saying that we should have the Bible and then have the Bible again? No. We're going to talk about truth through the Word of God and how to use God's Word when we get to that point. But here, the main thing we realize that, look, just an attitude of truthfulness. Right? As we think of the garment that in here, that as we had our robe, what would happen is say it was time for action. And if you were able to take your robe and pull it up between your legs and tuck it into your belt. And that's why my Bible says to gird up. That's what girding up means, if you ever wondered. If you ever have to gird up. Right? Is to take the loose garment, pull it up, and tuck it in. So all of a sudden now you go from a robe to having almost like a pair of culottes. Does anyone know what a culotte is? All right. I never heard about it until I went to Christian school, and it was the fashion wear for the girls, but... But in here, we're able to get you around. A couple years ago, we were doing a vacation Bible school, and the theme was Egypt, and I dressed up as a pharaoh. And I had the headdress and everything else. Well, they wore, I can't remember the term of it, but basically it was a skirt. And I looked pretty awesome looking at as a pharaoh. Except I was trying to run around with the kids. I have all new respect for you ladies. because we started taking off and started running, and I couldn't. Now, luckily, I had a pair of shorts underneath it, but when I really wanted to get going, I hiked it up. Right? I girded myself up to free me off to do what I needed to do. This is the picture that Scripture gives before us, that really, we talk about the belt of truth. Has it to do with the idea of readiness? Are we ready for action? Right? The Roman soldier, he was lounging around, he'd be able to take his belt off because it didn't matter if everything flopped around. But boy, when he was ready for action, it came on. Buckle up. Because I don't want anything hanging out. I don't want anything to be loose. I don't want anything for the enemy to grab onto. That truth, that seeking off the truth. Folks, we need to realize how imperative it is for us to seek out the truth. Do we really care? Are we really serious about this Christian thing? Are we ready? Do we live what we say we believe? Probably one of the most powerful, challenging messages I heard was from a gentleman called Charlie Nuke. Some of you might have known Charlie. His son is pastoring up at the corners up there, up towards you, Kathy. Neely's corner. But the first time I heard him preach, he got up, and he was a real quiet kind of guy. And he gets up in there and he goes, "You know what? You guys don't need more of the Bible." And that kind of shocked me. He goes, "You guys need to start doing what you already know. Are we even doing what we already know? Do we seek out the truth? And is it really true? Right? Do we really believe it if it doesn't have an impact on our life? Right? If truly Jesus is God, doesn't that change our relationship with Him? If we truly believe, as we did this morning, that, Lord, this is what You did for us, You shed Your blood for me, if that is true, doesn't it have an impact? Do this in remembrance of me. Paul puts it this way, he uses the illustration of running a race. He said, "Do you not know, that those who run in a race all run? But one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it." To run to win it. Right? To gird up. To surround ourselves in truth and live that truth, that reality. Do we run it to win it? You know, do we give it all we got? We had a coach when we played soccer. He says, "If you, at the end of the game, are not exhausted, you have not given it at all." And he goes, "What are you left? You know, what are you saving it for? What are you saving it for? Right? Our Christian life, this Christian race that we're in. Are we running it to win it? Are we running it full out, all sold out, not holding anything back? Do we gird ourselves up?" Because what happens here, look, he uses this illustration a little bit further in Hebrews, is therefore also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Remember I told you one of the things that the belt does is it was clapped on, it kept the rope from flopping around so dozen things didn't get caught up on it? The sin which so easily ensnares us. Folks, if we don't seek out the truth, be sold out for the truth, folks, Satan will grab a hold of us on our doubts and on our fears. And folks, once he got a hold of us, he doesn't let go. That in here, the armor of God, the first thing is, "Lord, I believe what You say. I will trust in You, Lord, and I will hang on to You and follow You no matter what." casting apart doubt and fear. Peter, this is a resounding theme in here. Peter talks about, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The gird up, right? Pull it up, cinch it up, be ready to run. To gird our minds. Be sober and rest fully on the hope of the Lord. At the end of the day, we talk about the belt of truth is that readiness. Right? Are we ready to serve the Lord? Are we ready to follow Him? Are we sold out for Him? But it also comes down through that He is the one who's in control. Right? To turn around and distrust full-heartedly. Imagine a military man who gets the call. The turn around and point to artillery. Here's where I need you to fire. Right? Here's the longitude. Here's the latitude. And here's the degrees. Turn this and fire. And the guy says, "Yeah, I just don't feel like it today." Right? You can the guy. Or if he's on the ground saying, because they're firing where they can't even see. Actually, now, with all these missiles and stuff they're doing, you're miles and miles away. I say, I know this is what they gave me, but I feel like, today's not a 2, 4, 5, 8 degree. Today feels more like a 1.6 degree day, so I'm just going to point it this way. You say, what an idiot, right? Trust in those that are in control. In our Christian life, is Christ in control or are we in control? It says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engages in warfare and entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. That Christ is our commanding officer. He is the one in charge. That we cast around all these other things and seek Him out, and I will do what He asked me to do. That's that belt of truth. I want to run through just a few things because you say, if Christ isn't in control, then what is? First thing, it's easy for us to listen to our feelings. Right? Do I simply do whatever I want to do? Do I do what feels good to me? Years ago we were on a playground and my oldest daughter was just little at the time. And there's this little boy on the playground and he was mean and nasty to my daughter. And she comes over to me and she's all in tears and he's calling me names and all this. And so I took my daughter by the hand and said, "Show me the boy." So we go out there and he said, "This is the boy." And I say, "Hey, little boy." I said, "Who are you here with?" "I'm here with my mom." I said, "You know what? Let's go find your mom." So the boy's like, "Okay." And he heads off. So we go find mom. And I'm like, "Brittany, tell what's going on." He goes, "He's calling me names. He's being mean to me. He wanted me to do all this." And the mom looks at her, says, "Okay." And I'm like, "Can your son apologize to my daughter? Does that sound reasonable? Do I sound like I'm off base?" So the mom turns around and looks at the little boy. And she says, "I don't know, Bobby." He goes, "Will you apologize?" He goes, "I don't want to." So the mom says, "Okay, that's it. He doesn't feel like it." And I'm like, it doesn't matter what he feels like. He needs to do the right thing no matter how he feels, right? And she goes, "Well, if he doesn't feel it, then it doesn't mean anything. So, have a good day." What? Folks, our hearts lead us astray. Our feelings will lie to us. The heart is wicked above all else. And wickedly, it's deceitful. It lies to us. We can't gauge our feelings. Don't get me on the whole Disney follow your heart thing. No. Follow the Word. Do what Christ asks us to do. That belt of truth. Second thing, is it a person? Right? Do I simply do whatever my boss or my friends or my spouse wants me to do? Do I just do what I'm told to do? Right? Do other people have that influence on my life? Right? Sometimes it's easier just to go along, isn't it? You know, I'll just do what I'm told and I don't cause any waves instead of standing up and doing what God wants me to do. You know, sometimes there is a cost. But throughout the Scriptures, we have Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We have men who don't bow the knee, who will say, you know what, Lord, I will follow you no matter what. I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. I have two more. He said, is it in my culture? Do I simply do whatever accords with the way our world seems to work and think today? I think this is one of the biggest problems we have in the church today. This is what our society says is okay. But what does the Bible say? Well, it really doesn't matter what the Bible says. I'll go along with society. Right? I'll marry who I want to marry. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. I'll do what I want to do. I'll consume and watch and do. Right? The list goes on. Because the world says it's okay. And we don't want to cause waves. We don't want to be considered out of date. Or we want to be considered weird. Right? Or do we put on the belt of truth? Because the truth is the truth no matter what. God's Word doesn't change. Doesn't go fickle. Doesn't follow the latest trends. Doesn't go along with those things. Right? If you put on the belt of truth, you'll do and seek out what God wants. Last thing. I said, is it in my comfort zone? Is comfort my... Right? Do I simply do whatever is easiest is causing the least amount of trouble? Just going along with the flow because I don't want to cause waves. I don't want to speak out. Right? It's just easier to coast under the radar. Well, because if I say something, it might ruffle some feathers. Right? And so in here becomes sort of a sin of omission in our lives. Just going along with the flow. Folks, as we seek out the truth, right? Without truth, all the rest of the armor doesn't matter. Right? But the truth holds everything in place. Keeps us from being ensnared. Keeps us on the straight and narrow. Keeps us in our walk with the Lord. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, we are in this battle. And it is real. Lord, the enemy is all around us. Pressing us from every side. Lord, tempting us to walk away from our faith. To falter. But Lord, help us to stand. Lord, give us an attitude of readiness. Lord, give us an attitude of Christ-centeredness, Lord, that we follow You. Lord, give us Your truth and help us to stand in it. And Lord, as we seek You out, everything else will fall into place. Help us be bold. Help us be soldiers, warriors for the faith, that we may make an impact on those around us. Lord, we ask these things in Your name. Amen.